There we go. Good to see all of you. We did have a great week at camp. I'm not going to beg people again, but if you're interested in soul winning, Jimmy Tony just preached a phenomenal message just about soul winning and Bible studies on Wednesday night. And I was so happy that we changed it up. We don't need more preaching, folks. We don't need more conferences. We need more soul winning. That's what we need. We need more doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. So I have that link. If you are interested in it, you can text me or email me, and I will send it to you. This is a tremendous word. And then my wife said the ladies' service was just some of the things she shared about the ladies' service on Friday was very powerful. And if you would like that, I have that link too. Brad prepared them both for me. So we can send it to you if you want it. If you don't, you want to listen to more Taylor Swift, go ahead. See how spiritual you get. Matthew 24:1. I like your dress, Juanita. See, I have reached that point in my life. I'll be 54 this year. The I don't care point. So I don't care if you think I'm goofy. I love you. I just don't care. I don't care about if you think I should be doing this or should be doing that, or you think I'm weird, or I just don't really care. I don't care. First of all, I think that I'm at the stage, and I'm not sure where that stage is, but I'm pretty sure I'm there, that I'm not out looking for a wife. I'm not out looking for fame. I'm not looking for success. I'm where I am, so I just don't care. Hey, don't you look at me awkward. You don't care when I preach, so what's the difference? Matthew 24:1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I was reading this text earlier in the week, I think on Monday, and something just kind of popped out at me. And as I went back to it later, I really felt the direction of the Lord and just began to prepare for what I want to share with you today. So as I get ready to pray, I would like to share with you on this thought, what would you do if you had 2,000 years? What would you do if you had 2,000 years? Can we pray?
Gracious Father, Lord, we love you. God, and we honor you this morning, Lord. We need you, Lord, to enter into this place, Lord. God, and to speak into the lives of your people, Lord. Each and every one of us have gathered here today, Lord. God, not to fill another pew or sing another song, but Lord, to receive your word, God, with a good spirit and a good attitude, Lord. God, I ask, Lord, that however the word is to be delivered, Lord, God, that you delivered in your perfect will, Lord. God, you have timed it, Lord, and orchestrated it to be delivered here today, right now, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, and I ask that we do not take this message for granted, Lord, but God, that we give it our
have
full
your
attention,
way,
Lord.
Jesus,
God,
hallelujah,
full
hallelujah,
today, Lord,
hallelujah,
Jesus,
glory,
use pastor,
glory,
but as you glory, see fit today,
God
Lord, as he is the vessel,
I
Lord.
I submit myself
in Jesus
to you,
name
oh gracious
pray.
God.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. This was Zerubbabel's temple. It was the second temple that they were looking at. It was constructed between 536 and 516 BC after the Israelites had returned from Babylon. Between 20 and 19 BC, Herod began making some modifications, adding some additions to this temple. And so when Jesus walked through the temple in the text that we just read, this particular building had existed for about 500 years. In 40 years from this moment, it would be gone. The Romans would besiege the city and would destroy it all. That's what Jesus was talking about. But the meaning and the understanding for us goes so much deeper. What I begin to think about is the Lord is speaking to them as if this temple was going to be destroyed tomorrow. More than likely, none of the apostles that were there to witness the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And so I thought, how odd that Jesus would speak to them and say, there's not one stone to be turned upon another. It would be as if we walked into church today and I were to say to you, this building is going to fall apart and the roof is going to crash in. But I was prophesying of something that would happen 50 years from now. You might say, well, why would you tell us that now? That's really not our problem. We probably won't even be here. And so Jesus was speaking as if it was going to happen tomorrow. Like the end of that era was like now. And so I thought it had to be very difficult for the apostles, the disciples that were there, to even process that, to even understand what the destruction of the city would look like, to even comprehend if it was even possible. This is the city of God. Certainly that's not going to happen. Why would God let that happen? It doesn't make any sense. And so they couldn't really grasp it. And so the greater problem for you or I today is 40 years in the Bible is a matter of moments of reading. It cannot be comprehended. It cannot be processed. I would say it's near, because nothing is impossible, but it's near impossible. To put it into context, in 40 years, half of us will be dead. But when we read it and we hear Jesus tell them that there will not be one stone remained upon the other. He didn't say in 40 years. He didn't say sometime in the future. He spoke as if it was going to happen the next day. And so this adds weight to the scripture that tells us today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not when my job schedule eases up, not when I get some things together, not when I understand the Bible a little better. Today is the day of salvation. So the lesson that we learn in this text, which I'll expound upon more, is treat today like it's your last day. That's the lesson that we get. We don't know if today will be our last day. Nobody knows. I woke up this morning and read a very popular senator, been in the Senate for a long time, died suddenly. And you don't know. You may have 50 years. You may have 50 days. You may have 50 minutes. We don't know. And so the lesson that Jesus is teaching us is, although it might be 40 years, I didn't tell you it's going to be 40 years because that's irrelevant to you. Because if I tell you in 40 years, you'll think you have 40 years and you'll live like you have 40 years. But if I don't tell you when, you might think it could be today or tomorrow and you'll live like it's today or tomorrow. Most Christians don't live like the Lord is coming. Most Christians don't live like we're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. Most Christians don't live like I've got to repent and change my life now. They live like, well, I've got time. And so we don't know is the problem. And so the message is this. If we don't live like it's going to happen today, we will never be ready and we'll be lost. If we don't treat today like it's our last day, though we have 2,000 years, we will still more than likely be lost. Because if you'll neglect today, you'll neglect the next 2,000 years. Now I'm in the book. Becoming apathetic in our relationship with the Lord. We'll find ourselves making excuses. Have I ever told you that I absolutely abhor excuses? I mean, I would rather you cut my finger off and force feed it to me than to give me an excuse. Because what I have found is excuses, they are nothing more than excuses. Nothing. Nothing. They really are. You say, well, that's not biblical. All the ways of a man are just in his own eyes. I heard one recently. Boy, if I can remember it, I would say it. Some people have gotten to the point they just don't even give excuses anymore. They just don't do it, or they just don't come. Forget excuses. We move beyond the excuse stage. Oh, I know what it was, one of you precious folks here today. Glad you're here. Oh, I didn't have a way. Hogwash. There's always a way where there's a will. Did you call anybody to pick you up? Did you check with Uber? Check with the train, the RTA? If you're not from Cleveland, you know what RTA is. Whatever. There's people lives all around you. There's a way if you want the way. We've got people here today that don't have a vehicle, but they're here. They're not always here, but they are today. Thank goodness. So there's a way if you want the way. Excuses. Now listen, I'm going to just really lay this thing out for you today. Would you let me? If we can't live now like the Lord is coming, we will not live for him though we had 2,000 years. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, today. Because tomorrow is not promised to anybody. This is why Jesus in the same text was speaking of deception. When you go back in this text, he's speaking, when they ask him, how will we know when the last days or when the Lord will come? He didn't answer their question. He said, many will be deceived. He began to talk to them about deception. Why? They were looking for a timeline. They were looking for an exact figure. Why? Because they wanted to know, if I'm not right, I want to make sure I've got time to get it right. And all he said was, there's going to be a lot of deception. Meaning, be wise, be alert, be a voice in your day. But don't live like you have forever. Don't live like you have 2,000 years. Because if you won't serve God today, I'm here to tell you, you will be lost. Let's talk about serving God for one moment. Let me just deviate from my notes. Now, for the life of me, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand why people get upset at you if you care about their eternity. You get to preaching about eternity, people get tight, they get upset, they get frustrated. They would rather you sow into their field of delusion. That's be not deceived. Many will come in my name and will deceive many. Many false prophets will come and will deceive many. So sometimes we'd rather somebody sow into our field of delusion rather than somebody preach to get me to heaven. You might not believe this, but God has never spoken to me and said, you'll get a bonus for every person that gets to heaven. Not once. But I have spoken to God and I've said, God, when can somebody else take the mantle? When can somebody else have the torch? I have spoken those words to the Lord. And I don't know what I was going to say. So we'll continue on. In Matthew 25 and 7, it's important that we understand this is a continuation of the same sermon. It's a different chapter for us, but it's a continuation of the same sermon. Are you with me? Do I have to scream to get your attention? Do we need bombs to be going off and airplanes to be having air combat and you know, simulation of nuclear bombs so we can I just want to make sure you're with me. Because I don't want anybody to be lost. At the very least, I've got to stand before God in judgment. And I've got to say, God, I gave my very best. And I hope I don't have to stand beside anybody or in front or behind anybody that didn't listen. And so Jesus continues speaking, and he now begins with the parable of the 10 virgins. In Matthew 25 and 7, he says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, nay, not so, lest there be not enough oil for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I also abhor wherever the teaching began that if you miss the first rapture, you just catch the second train, don't worry about it. The door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. It goes in line with what Jesus has been teaching in these two chapters, starting in chapter 24. The whole chapter is all about the last days. And then we started there, and then we get into 25, and he begins to talk about the temple. And not one stone will remain thrown down upon the other. He's explaining to them that time is short and this will all come to an end. Then he goes into the parable of the virgins. And we know the parable, 4 or 5 have oil and extra oil in their lamps, and the other 5 have extra oil. All of them had oil, but 5 of them didn't bring any extra oil. All of them prayed, but 5 of them prayed very little. They prayed just enough to make it. 5 of them were 10 of them were faithful, but 5 of those were they were just slacking in their faithfulness. And so we must remember, again, continuation of the same sermon. And speaking of the oil, Jesus is saying you have to have enough to be ready. Well, I could even say it this way. Well, I'm okay just going to church on Sunday. I have just enough oil to get me through to the end. If I just go on Sundays, I have just enough oil. Not, I'm going to preach to you for a second. Some of you that used to come on Wednesdays, but you don't anymore. You were able to do it then, but you don't now. I know, you got reasons. You will not have enough oil to get you into eternity. You know why? Because it's not about Wednesday. It's about a change of the heart and a change of the desire. Listen to me. I'm not preaching at you. I am preaching for you. Any form of going backwards is a form of backsliding. But be not deceived, Jesus said. How are we going to know? We want to be ready. Just don't be deceived. There's going to be a lot of people going to deceive you. There's going to be a lot of preachers who are going to tell you what you want to hear. The best thing you can do for yourself is to say, man, I am not who I was. I'm not who I was. I'm not where I was. I don't care the way I cared. Eventually, your oil will run out. God, I wish I could get some people to listen to me. I've sat there and watched too many people's lamps run out over the years. And guess what? If they don't get some extra oil, eventually the Lord's going to come. And what's going to happen is when he shuts the door, they're going to be praying. He's going to say, it's too late. The door has been shut. You have to have enough in you to be ready. Those that had extra oil were not to sacrifice their own self for somebody else who was unprepared. The Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. I have failed you as a church, and I'm going to apologize to you because I did not preach enough on eternity or heaven or hell. And it's shown. It has shown. I felt pressure oftentimes to try and find a message that would make you feel better about yourself. I don't want you to feel better if you're not living where you're not supposed to be living. I don't want you to be comfortable there. I would rather you leave this church because you're going to leave eventually, and at least leave because you got tired of hearing me preach about eternity, knowing that I did everything to get to you. Now, the good news is today is still today. Today creates every opportunity that we need. So don't sacrifice yourself in order to save somebody else who ignored the wedding invitation. The Bible says they came knocking. He said, no, the door is shut. As it was in the days of Noah, when he shut the door was shut. There was one door There is one entrance to the ark, and there's one way to salvation. There's not two. There's not three. There's not if I miss it, I'll climb on the bow or I'll climb on the stern and I'll just hold on for dear life. When he shuts the door is shut. Now, sometimes this creates a little fear, if you please, or anxiety within us. It's not meant to make a person anxious. It's meant to draw a person towards or closer to Calvary. That is the whole point. But we must dispel of the lies that when the door shuts, you have another opportunity. And I'll say this, I've said it 100 times already. I've had people tell me, well, if I just miss the rapture, I just won't take the mark. If you can't serve God now, especially if money is your reason, I've heard it 1,000 times. A pastor, I've got to work. Well, so you won't have to work once the rapture comes. That'll all change. Once you can no longer buy or sell, when we're witnessing the rise of, and I realize that might cause a problem in this streaming, I don't care. And I have been telling people for the last 20 years, the only way the scripture is fulfilled, that if you will not take the mark, you will lose your head. There's only one entity on earth that still beheads people, and that is, it's not a friendly religion, it's not a peaceful religion. And guess what? Write this in your calendar if you want to know how smart I am. The man in New York City will run for president. And you know what happens if you get a Muslim as president? For those of you, I don't care about politics. I don't believe in voting at all. Well, when they start appointing judges, and when you get judges on the Supreme Court, you want to know how comes into effect? Now, you can call that whatever you want to call it. It's stupid to call it hate. That's just stupid and ignorant. That's called wisdom. Let him who hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the Spirit is trying to speak to the church and caution us. We are rapidly moving into the last. Now, we may witness some of this. We may not. I can promise you this. I'll say this without one. Again, that man will run for president someday. Guaranteed. And guess what? He may win. Why? Because Jesus told us the spirit of the last day will be deception. Now, I love you, but don't get on board with me now when I talk about it, and then get back on board and talk about your walk with God. And Brad, I might want you to go out and just blur some of the, just do the bleep, on some of the words with. And said you have to have enough to be ready. He goes on a little farther down in verse 24. And he continues with this sermon. Same spirit. Same message. He talks about the talents. Now, let me just pause. Because I've got to cover every bit of my bases for some of you. Because you're easily offended. And I mean that sincerely. I love you. It's not my fault you're easily offended. I did not say all Muslims are evil people. I said the religion is evil. Evil. And I've never understood women that don't like that statement. It's easy not to like it when you got the freedom not to uncover your face. You should be the biggest advocates for women than anybody else. They get beaten in public if too much of their eyes are showing. And you going to defend that trash? Can I preach for a minute? So he continues in verse 24. Says, then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now, if I was Jesus, and I'm not, but if I was, I'd have said, liar, liar, pants on fire. You weren't afraid. You were lazy. You didn't want to do anything with what I gave you. Something dawned on me this morning that never dawned on me before. Now, you all probably much more spiritually advanced than I am, and that don't even bother me. But I'll tell you what dawned on me, Brother TJ. He gave one 5 talents, one 3 talents, and one talent. How did he determine who got how many talents? I would say he gave 5 to the one that had already proven himself to do good with what God had already given him. And man, but so I wouldn't want to be the one guy that gets 1. That means I can barely trust you, but I'm going to give you 1 to see what you do with it. And he did nothing with it. That's why the master was furious. He did nothing. God, the worst thing in the world you can ever do is do nothing with what God has already given you. To do nothing with it. To do nothing with it. It's a tragedy to do nothing with what God has given you. Then to add insult to injury. He lies. That's just my take on it. You don't have to agree with me. He said he was afraid, so he hid it. That's why the Lord didn't buy his bogus reply. He said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtst to have therefore put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." Now, just to make sure we're clear here, the Bible is not endorsing gambling. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. It is a parable. It is an example. It is a story that we take what God gives us and we are to multiply what God gives us. If he gave you the Holy Ghost, you should find 5 people that pray through to the Holy Ghost. If he gave you mercy, you should give mercy to 100 people. So he said, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. He no longer had 5, because he doubled. "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." You have an empty offering plate back there? I'm not taking an offering, don't worry. Let me just repeat what I've been saying for 25 years now. Overtime is not the key to your financial prosperity. I'm not here to tell you God's paying off your mortgage or none of those things. Sometimes you got to learn to live with for a season what God has given you before he gives you more. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what your lost brother says. I don't care what your lost mother says. I don't care what your lost aunt and uncle say. I don't care what your lost neighbors say. If you want to listen to them, and you can look at their lifestyle, but when we're not sold on truth, everybody's in heaven. So we no longer compare spiritual with spiritual like the Bible tells us to. My word says, give, whether it's a piece of paper or whether it's a dollar bill, and it shall be given unto you. I sat in a home, looked at a Bible beside the bed of a dying man, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, read the parable of the talents. One of the many most profound moments of my life. And as I begin to read, the Lord said, "I, not the man that was dying, I took his church, I took his people, I took everything, and I gave it to you." Why? Because we were doing with what God had already given us. And the man in question, not the man that was dying, the man in question had did nothing. He let it all go to the pits. That's what God told me. Because I could never understand, Brother Kenny, why would you take from him who has not and give to him that has? Well, it's kind of like the old cliche that says, if you want someone to do something, find the busiest person. Don't find the lazy excuse maker. Be careful if you never get a call to do anything. It might be telling. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. If God has blessed you, give to him with joy. I'm not appealing for your money. God, if you don't know me by now, then go find some Baptist church that will tell you whatever you want to hear. I don't care about your money. I care about you and your family and your home and your salvation and your eternity and your children. And you don't have to always struggle if you just give, if God has given to you. And then he said, and take the unprofitable servant into outer, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a reality for the last days. People are going to be lost and they're going to suffer. You know why? Because they ignored the wedding invitation. They weren't ready. It's kind of like today. I don't know, honey, if you don't mind playing for me or not. It might be a minute still, but. I feel like there's a wedding invitation here today. You know, in our time, one of the things that bother me, and there's a lot that bothers me. I mean, I'm just going to lie. It's a lot. But one of the things, you know, having done a lot of weddings and a lot of funerals, when I do a wedding, I tell people, if they come walking in at 1 minute after, hold the doors and tell them they're not coming in. There used to be an etiquette. Get your lazy behind out of bed and get ready on time and get to the wedding on time. But see, we've learned to be a generation and a nation of excuses. Well, that's mean. You're mean. Things happen. No, that's a lifestyle, folks. This is not a thing that's happened. It's a lifestyle. I've told people that. Weddings were always a sacred thing. You weren't late for a wedding. You didn't come to a wedding in your pajamas or your shorts or your tank tops. No, you dressed appropriately. You had wedding attire. There's a reason the Bible tells us there's a wedding garment. Yes, it's spiritual. But it's also something about our disposition as human beings. When we begin to not care here or there, we won't care about anything. And that's the virgins that did not have any extra oil. They had the invitation, and they were on their way to the wedding, but they drugged their feet, they didn't prepare themselves, and finally their lamps went out, and when the wedding doors were open, they weren't there, and then they came expecting to get in late. Hey, we're here now, we're only a couple minutes late, the door is shut. The door is shut. We gave you a wedding invitation, and the time is on the invitation. The location is on the invitation. If you want to be a part of the wedding, then be there early. Get yourself ready now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I fix it. Today is the day I shake some things loose because I'm going to the wedding. We've learned to make jokes about people that will be late for their own funeral. It's not funny. We have become a nation of apathetic, careless people. I don't know why you got ashamed.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this? God doesn't care about this. God doesn't. No, you don't care about anything. I don't send people to hell for not shaving, but I'm not going to let you on a platform either. Why? Because I think this is where the Word of God, is this just like a story or is it the Holy Word of God? It's just my conviction. The next pastor might not have the conviction. That's between him and God. But is that big of a deal? Now, I know some of you have heard this, but I'm going to tell you again. A young man years ago, he quit our Elisha ministry because he wanted to grow his beard. See, young men, now I'm not preaching against beards, so I don't want to get you all upset at me now. There's my, what do they call that thing like you put out beforehand? Disclaimer. But we say if you're in leadership, we feel like there should be a standard. We don't feel like any slob in the world should sit on a bench and judge people. You ever see a judge walk up in shorts and tank tops and sit on the bench? If you do, I'd be like, I'm done. I'm dead. I'm going away forever. And so he quit the Elisha team because he wanted to shave. He wanted to grow his beard. Had to have his beard. Is that big of a deal? Got to have a beard. Beards make young men men, I guess. That's what young men think. They do. Young men think a beard makes them a man. And I respect that. I really do. When you're a young man, I know you want to. I do. And then he signs up for the military, Brother TJ. Comes walking in one day, clean shaven. I said, wait a second. I thought you wanted to grow your beard. And then I find, hi, sailor. And then I said, I see. I understand now. You've just determined who the authority in your life is. The church has no authority. Church can't tell me what to do. But the military, shave. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You determine who you're. I would rather have spiritual headship than carnal headship. But that's just me. But guess what? You know what else? With every fiber in my being, I'm going to be ready for the wedding feast too. I'm going to be ready one way or another. Let me read on. He continues in verse 33 of the same chapter. I'm trying to hurry. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. I've always loved this text. And if you don't understand it, they both go bah. But they're not the same creature. See, Jesus is not, he's not Americans. He wouldn't die for a turtle, but throw away a baby in the womb. Jesus isn't that way. Oh, look at the little squirrel. I saw some dingbat on a video recently. God have mercy, forgive me. She got a squirrel and she put a little harness around the squirrel. She tied a little cute little pink leash to it. Oh, you want to go for a walk, honey? Oh, let's go take my little squirrel for a walk. And I'm like, I hope someone runs it over. Not really. I don't want the squirrel to die. I just want to be set free from the misery. It's a wild animal. Let the animal go. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel Jesus telling Moses, let my people go. And then they wonder why they go from a squirrel to a lion, and then they wind up getting eaten. I don't feel sorry for you. Not one bit. Oh, another tragic news today. So-and-so's pet lion ate him. Good for you. I hope he had a good meal. I know some of you think I'm mean. It's not my dumb fault you get a lion for a pet. So, God is not us. He's not going to say, oh, I feel sorry for the goats. Oh, the poor goats. Nope, he said, I'm going to put the sheep over here and the goats over here. See, he knows the difference. He knows the difference. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we're in two chapters. We're talking about end time, and we got all these parables to talk about being ready. being prepared for you in the foundation of the Lord. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee or thirsty? And that's a dangerous text, because we don't know what we're doing to who half the time. Now watch. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So, understand, Jesus ties eternity to their doing. He was saying, you never truly know when you're doing good or not. Watch. Hey, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Look at me. I'm going to feed this homeless person. Here you go, homeless, sir. Let's post it and see how many. That's not charity. There's not one thing about that that's charity. That's exploiting the needy. He was saying you never truly know when you're doing good or not. So if you do it all the time, it becomes your lifestyle. Not just selective times, not just for people who you might be fond of or people you like a little more than the others. No, make it. Now listen, but you'll never make it a lifestyle if the kingdom does not become your lifestyle. It's not something that happens consciously. It's something that happens when he bursts within me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now Jesus begins to become my conscience. He begins to speak. And so we don't become selective. I'm not saying you go out there and there are people outside the ball fields that they're not money-making schemes. A lot of them they are, but we don't know. So sometimes you just go, all right, hey, I'm going to buy you all a sandwich. I'm not going to give you money, but I'm going to buy you some food. If you start picking who you think needs ministered to, it becomes selective ministry and not pure ministry. And ministry is salvation essential. So, I've come today to ask you to do one thing. Throw away your bucket list. Throw away your bucket list. A lot of people have a bucket list. Before I die, I'm going to do this and that and this and that and this and that. We need a generation that will trade in their bucket list for a kingdom list. Listen to me. Time is too short. Maybe I'm the only one. You've been hearing me say it a lot. But I'm telling you, I believe our days are so numbered. If we understood, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I see it in our world. I see Scripture coming to life. When I look around me, I see Scripture popping out. And I feel the spirit of prophecy beginning to minister into our spirits to saying the time is near, the time is near, the time is near. And then I think of Jesus when he said, as it was in the days of Noah, they'll just be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and living their life just the way they do it, having fun and enjoying life and doing all these wonderful things they ever wanted to do and filling that bucket list. But then one day, the rain came and the door was shut. And so I'm asking you to make a conscious personal pledge in your own heart today that I will discard my bucket list and I will create a kingdom list. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying I'll teach 10 Bible studies this year rather than go to Mount Rushmore? God help us. God help us. I teach 10 Bible studies this year rather than go skiing in the Keys. I take one further. What's wrong with saying, I will not go on a family vacation this year? We're going to take that time and we're going to make it ministry. And we're going to minister to people however we can. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't get away. I'm talking about the principle. If you won't use tomorrow to be ready, though you have 2,000 years, you will still be lost. And I believe this is why God gives some people more time than others. I do. Somebody dies at a young age, we can't understand it, we can't process it. But God either knows they were in and they were ready, or God knows they'll never get in and they'll never get ready. So what's another 10 days or 10 years going to do? God's not in this to see us grow and have life. God's in this to get us into heaven. Jesus gave everything you could possibly give. He gave his life. Sometimes we won't even give in the offering. One more text. No, there's two. I don't know if I've gone long. I'm sorry if I have. Amplified, Luke 13:2. I did not tell you this was amplified. I might not even given it to you yet. It may came after the fact. I'm so heavy and so saddening for people that just won't listen. They won't get on board. It guts me. It guts me. I feel numb in my spirit. I feel numb in my mind. People that are just stubborn, that won't change. I wish there was something I could do, something I could say. Jesus replied to them, "Do you think these Galileans are worse than sinners than all the other Galileans because they have suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, which is changing your old way of thinking, turning from your sinful ways, and live a changed life, you will all likewise perish." Or do you assume that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed were all sinners? And there were more than others who lived in Jerusalem? And he was responding to this common belief that we probably still adopt today, that tragedy was always a direct result of somebody's sin, which is not the case at all. And he says in verse 5, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, change, 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 turn, change, you will all likewise perish." Change. Change. There must be change in our lives. I must change. You must change. We must change. If what I'm doing is not working with my walk with God, I've got to change. I've got to change. If I've gone backwards, I've got to change. If I'm not as committed as I was, I've got to change. If I'm not coming as much as I was, I've got to change. If I'm not praying as much as I was, I've got to change. If I'm not fasting when I used to, I've got to change. If I don't love the lost the way I once did, I've got to change. I've got to change. Because if you don't change today, if God gave you 2,000 years, you wouldn't change. And there should not be one single thing that I said today that should discourage or frustrate anybody. I stayed as close to the word as I could. The Bible talks about so many being lost and deceived. I just don't want it to be on my watch. I don't want to see it happen in our church, but it will, and it already has. But if we can just save one more today with this word, then we'll save one more. Just one. Most people want a way of escape. Or a way out. Discouragement really only comes when we don't want to hear the absolute truth. See, we want wiggle room. But Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, it's my last text, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." That's very absolute. This is not hard. It's not hard. The only thing that's ever difficult is when our flesh refuses to crack, refuses to bend, to break. The Bible compares our human nature to him as the potter and we as the clay. He's got to be able to undo and unmold what has already been done. And he's got to be able to reshape and reform. He did not take the old pot and say, "Let's use it." The Bible says you cannot put new wine in old wine skins. You can't put the Holy Ghost in a non-repentant body. You can't change people that aren't changing. You can't give the best of what Jesus has if you won't change first. I feel the Lord saying to us, somebody change, somebody repent, somebody change. Somebody, don't treat it like you have more time, because if you won't do it today, you would not do it if you had 2,000 years. And I'll say to those of you that are trying to live for God, whoever you might be, if you're every one of you or just two of you, don't feel cheated. Don't feel discouraged or disenfranchised because you're trying to live like Jesus is coming. Don't look to the world, but keep looking to the hills. Don't worry about what they're doing. Just worry about what you're doing. Don't worry about their approval. Just worry about God's approval. Don't worry if they agree or not. Just say, Jesus, are you satisfied? Are you pleased? Why? Because I want to be at the wedding. I got an invitation and I want to be at the wedding. And everybody here has an invitation, but you've got to decide, are you going to take extra oil, because it might take a little longer than you thought to get there. Would you stand? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, right now, I hope I've done everything you've asked me to do. God, I hope I've said it the way you've asked me. I've done my best. God, I pray you let your angels, God and the Holy Ghost, begin to stir in every one of us right now. God, let your presence, let your richness, oh God, begin to settle over this place, I pray. Let solemnness, God, begin to settle over us. Don't let us be deceived. Don't let us be lost. Don't let us find a preacher that has no backbone, that will just preach what I want to hear because he wants the numbers to go up. Oh God, help us today, Jesus. Help our spirit today. Help our heart today. Let there be change. Let something break. Let something break. There's been a hold by the adversary on some of your minds. Let it break today. I pray by the blood of Jesus Christ, let their mind be set free. Let their heart be loosed to worship you, God, with all purity of heart and mind and body and spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, so I will use my body to worship you, to give you praise, to give you honor. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Come on, would you please close your eyes and pray with me, whether you're in the front or the back. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of God. I feel like he wants to put his stamp on his word today. Let it be, Jesus. Let it be, Jesus. Let there be repentance in every one of us. If I've got to change even just a little bit, I want to make the wedding feast. Today, not tomorrow, please, today, not next Sunday, please, today, get back where you were. Holy Spirit, stay. If you're already here, stay where you are. Don't let me be lost. Jesus, don't let me be lost. Let anybody here be lost. Set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Oh, 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 yes, something.
something has to break.
Listen, you don't have to feel shameful or guilty. Just feel repentant. Just take it and say, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to get back before I lose it all the way. I will not be lost. I don't have to be lost. I don't need to be lost.
The wrong thing right. Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. If something has to break, something has to break right now in your name. And something has to break.
Keep singing lightly. I want Brother Jerome to come and pray for us. Don't you let the devil tell you I'm your enemy. Don't you let the devil convince you that something is here. Listen, I'm your best friend. I'm the one that wants to see you go to heaven. Would you listen to those lies? Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Jerome.
Come on, let's lift our hands, let's lift our voices right now and just speak to the Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for the word that we heard today. God, I know, Lord, that this word is of you and from you. And I pray today, God, Lord, that things could change. God, if there are things in our life, God, that you've been speaking to us about this year, I pray today we leave it at an altar today. God, that we begin to change things, God. Begin to alter things, Lord, the way you've been speaking to us. God, we give you glory and honor for the word today. But I pray we don't leave this place without this word in our heart and without this word in our mind. I pray, God, you give us strength in our everyday walk. But Lord, ultimately at the end of the day, Lord, that our hunger would come back. Lord, that our thirst for righteousness and a thirst for your word, God, to be preached all over this county, all over this state, all over this country. Lord, in a world, God, that is falling apart, in a world, God, that is looking for something, I pray, God, you would use us, Lord, from this Sunday on, God, to be preachers of your word. God, not only preachers, but doers of your word also. I pray, God, we begin to break things right now in the name of Jesus at this altar. God, if we're dealing with doubt in our mind, I pray we would break it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray things would start to break, Lord, in our homes that have been hindering us from being able to pray like we want to, being able to have freedom and liberty, God, like we want to. I pray, Lord, that if we're business owners, Lord, that we would begin to understand, Lord, to lean upon you more. God, lean upon you and allow you to lead us, oh Lord. God, so that we can be an impact not only to our own family, but God, to the kingdom. Lord, that you are raising up right now here in Jefferson.
Set the wrong thing right. Cause when you have your way,
God, we're believing for a move like we've never seen before here in Jefferson. But we understand it's going to take us, Lord, falling at our feet, Lord, falling at your feet, giving it all to you here today. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you praise and honor before, God, what we're going to see. We give you glory and honor, Lord, for what we're going to see.
Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break. It's something.
you'll lead me through it, and I believe you'll get me to it, and I believe that you will do it right now, 'cause something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it, and I believe you'll get me to it, I believe that you will do it right now, 'cause something has to break.
I believe you'll lead me through it, and I believe you'll get me to it, I believe that you will do it right now, and something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it, and I believe you'll get me to it, and I believe that you will do it right now, and something has to break. And I believe you'll lead me through it, and I believe you'll get me to it, and I believe that you will do it right now. I feel it in this room, Holy Spirit, move, 'cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right, 'cause when you have your way, something has to break, and something has to break, something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Feel it in this room, Holy Spirit, move, 'cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right, 'cause when you have your way, something has to break. I feel it in this room, Holy Spirit, move, 'cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right, 'cause when you have your way, something has to break, and something has to break, something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break, and something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name, and something has to break.
Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus.
I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. And something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. And something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. And I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. Something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break, and something has to break, something has to break right now in your name. Feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, and something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Oh, Jesus, we just thank you, God. Lord, I pray today that, God, this would be a turning point for us, Lord, in our lives. That this moment would not pass us by, Lord Jesus. God, that something would change, something would break, Lord, that we would be burdened. Lord, we would be burdened for the lost. Lord, that we would just change our attitude. Lord, I pray against stubbornness. Lord, there's nothing else matters in this world but you, Lord Jesus, and in a relationship with you and reaching the lost and loving others, Lord. We need you. We need your help with this, Lord. I pray today, God, that the word has just been received. And God, I pray that you would just be with our pastor, Lord. Just continue to give him the words to preach to us. But we thank you, and we love you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. You can continue to pray as long as you want. You're just dismissed in Jesus' name.